Blog Talk Radio.
Working as an intern with Will Smith,
You
say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Information in this series, but this is a Sabbath day, so we'll make a detour.
So Yahweh, I'll be with you all. We're going to throw it on the international side and see who all got the message to get in where you've been in it all over the known world. Then look on the international side and see exactly how many international countries have logged in to this broadcast. And it reads, all the slots are spilled. Out of 195 international countries have logged in. And now New York, what's flashing on the international side? It reads 103384. 103384. No said on that. 103384. We're going to bring the Steelers in. He's going to let you know who's bringing his broadcast. And we'll see if we get something going on. Remember, all locations, every gate of the six anointed camps is open. Call for details. Get on that number and call that detail number, 224-600-5579. And see where you at within 70 miles of any of the international six camps. But remember one thing, you have to, the unit came out of Kush. He came from Kush. You know how many miles it is from Kush to the Southern Kingdom? Over 1,500 miles to get to the Sabbath day class. And that's written over there in the 8th chapter, verse 26. And he was sitting in his chariot. Matter of fact, he was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the seer, getting warmed up. Then the minister spirit told Philip, run over there and catch him because he's reading good. But we clear the reason he coming is because he need to know what he reading. And Philip ran and chased him down. He said, hey, can I join you? He said, come on. Philip said, do you know what you read? He said, how can I? Except some man guide me. And that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching, Steve Rayo. The male must guide, but his helpmate supposed to be right there 100% with him. And anytime he need whatever he needed, supposed to be able to reach over and grab it for him and give it to him. And keep him doing his position for the better half to be in their position. That's why he said it was no problem. How can I understand? Except some man guide me. So, brothers, step up to the plate. You got to lead to get the blessing of some dust says Yahweh. Never say it, find the tails, top part of the Sabbath day, and bring him in, and we'll get something going on. Top part of the Sabbath day. I'm very happy. 224-600-5579. Where you located at? Find out where you located at, call the number, and say, I'm around this area. What camp is closer to me? And then we'll tell you exactly what camp to get to and get in. But remember, come in with big ears, little mouth, and make sure one thing. You got to get them fringes on. Because remember, the blessings is in the fringes. Yahweh have laid some on us. It's them fringes. The children of Israel was not identified through skin color. Because all the people looked the same way until the birth of Esau. Esau is the only change in the creation of color as you can find in Genesis 25:25, when one came out red and they called his name Esau. You know, so before that, everybody from the left side was looking like one color. All shades of brown. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. We make a lot of mistakes because we think one thing about it. Somebody is missing from the creation, and they're not missing. It's just propaganda got them missing. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to show you the hidden hand in propaganda also. So step it up. We're going to bring Mr. Tibbs there. He's going to tell you all about it. So when you meet your brother on the top part of the Sabbath day with a loud voice, you say, Brother Mr. Tibbs, Yahweh be with you there, C. Ray.
And Yahweh bless you, Brother C. as well, C. well. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Mr. Tibbs. Well, this is it. This is what it's all about. This is what Yahweh created for the children of Israel. And he said, that's the duty of the children of Israel. So this is it. Top part of Saturday. So what you got to tell this national audience, and it's blasting real good. It's blasting real good. 195 international countries. 103.384. Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Take your time. Come up.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother C. Israel. And thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast of another glorious attendance number of people that come to hear the words of Yahweh, which appears to be 103,384 listeners that want to hear something. Well, Seed Royal, you are going to hear something because we know that you all came to hear the things that most of us can hear. And some that's listening will never understand, and that's without proper teaching. This is why the words of Yahweh, which makes all this and more possible for the righteous. Because we're looking at some pretty bad times there. So a lot of people are preaching their own words instead of preaching Bible. It's the uninformed that can do none of these things that we do. So we look at what it tells us. We have to be aware that by knowing scriptures, there are those that are out there that camouflage their evil teaching for righteous learnings. And we mentioned that in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 to 15. Verse 12 says, "But what did I do that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Yahweh the Son." 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a minister spirit of light." 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." That's why here at Yahweh's ministry, we are the doers of Yahweh's word, and we follow his righteous teachings. Because we look in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 12 and verse 13. Verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Yahweh is against them that do evil." 13, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" Well, I did say the number of people that came to hear the good of Yahweh's word, and we know that those that came will receive it, commend it, and add unto it. But unfortunately, we know some will cast those same words behind their back, and that's not so good for others that are learning the words of Yahweh. What we call them, according to scriptures, are raving wolves in sheep clothing that come to see who's attending, what we're talking about, who's on their side in deceptive thinking, spreading rumors of non-Yahwali things. And I know many listening have seen just as much. These are the people, the ones that have to realize we're here for one reason, and not who sits on your left or sits on your right. To spread rumors. That's for to teach un-Yahwali things. But what we do, we know that without proper teaching, we end up meeting the blind who lead the blind, leading you away from the Bible precepts, the Sabbath days, which we're into now, into their own double-minded speeches. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcasts. That's open unto you live with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, first and foremost about Yahweh's word, connecting the books as we usually do for your understanding, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because we know that you all have came to seek and found that what you have sought in Yahweh's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. There's no class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. Well, looks like we're in the top part of the Sabbath now, which is Friday. Sabbath class starts on Friday at 7:15 to 10:15. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until our temple members desire to leave. Now, one note, we do have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of your current smart devices. Even that smartwatch will work. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. Now, after you click enter, just under that big line, you're going to see some choices. One of these choices will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any one of your other devices, you may see menu, but after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as you did for previous use. As doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, and bring an offering and come into his court." I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah live. Also, to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check the calendar. That will keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to you throughout the year. The calendar explains what the feast days are in detail, when they start, and when they're in. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. We're currently using two email addresses.
Is open on every angle. Remember one thing, see right here. Get in where you fit in at. And remember one thing, the blessing is when you serious about Yahuwah's business. You got to be serious about Yahuwah's business, see right here. And that is the key. Be serious about Yahuwah's business. And he'll know when you're serious. No doubt about it. Because you will do it according to what he got written. All right, no said on that. We'll catch you on the bottom part of it, Mr. Tibson. And get your closing thoughts to Thus Says Yahuwah. We're going to find Sister G. Israel and bring her in, and we'll see if we do the best we can. And one thing about it, the member spirit will take care of business and blessings, so we know it's summer in store for the top part of the Sabbath day. So when you meet your sister with a loud voice, you say, Sister G. Israel, tribe of Yahuwah Judah, Yahuwah BJLC Royal.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Sister G. Israel. Excellent on your part. So we're going to get something going on. I'm always happy. And I'm always happy because every Sabbath day is a sign And I'm always happy. Luke chapter 12, verse 12, Sister G. Israel. Let's see what we can get going on top part of the Sabbath day. Come on.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
And you got to believe that. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that's what it's all about. We're gonna take a look at a few things there, Sister G. Israel. Because Ezra, matter of fact, what is the history of Ezra anyway? Let's run and find out what's the history of Ezra. Let's find out the history in 3 verse 8. First Ezra 3 verse 8. Let's find out the history of Ezra. We're going to find out the history of Ezra. Chapter 3, verse 8. Let's find out what is first history. All right, put them hands out. Mother took the hand out for you there, Mother D.F. Israel. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah,
First Ezra, chapter 3, verse 8. And then everyone wrote his sentence, sealed it, and laid it under King Darius, his pillow.
That's First Ezra. Is that First Ezra? I'm getting distracted because they loading up every direction. I'm getting distracted. So is that First Ezra? First Ezra chapter 3, verse 8. Is that what you just got through reading?
Yes.
Shoot. I guess I'm bloated. What I need you? What error did I make? Make it 3 verse 8 then. 8 verse 3. Turn it around then, because I'm on something. And I'm going to get it together. I'm on something. Make it 8 verse 3.
First
turn that around.
Ezra chapter 8 verse 3. This Ezra went up from Babylon as a scribe, being very ready in the Torah instructions of Moses that was given by Yahweh of Israel.
What kind of ready was he, Sister G. Israel? Very ready. And that's what we trying to tell you. The sixth anointed council had come down to this business and thus says Yahweh, we are very ready. We very ready to take care of Yahweh's business. And that's the spirit you got to have. You're going to take care of Yahweh's business. You got to be. What kind of ready there? Mo D of Israel, what kind of ready?
Very ready.
Very ready. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So let's run to, so now we clear. Let's look at Ezra chapter, 2nd Ezra chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 1. We're going to skip down to 3 through 8. And 14 through 19, 25 and 27. That's what we're going to do. 2nd Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Get down to verse 3, down to verse 8. 14 through 19, 25, 27. That's my final verdict, top part of 70. Sister G. Israel, come on.
2nd Ezra, chapter 1, verses 1, 3 through 8, 14 through 19, and 25 and 27. 2nd Ezra. chapter 1, verse 1. The second book of the seer Esdras, the son of Sarais, the son of Azarias, the son of Hilchias, the son of Sedamius, the son of Sadok, the son of Ekitab. 3. The son of
Hold that point. Why was that laid out? See, later on we're gonna show you about the crescent. We're gonna dig down in information and show you soundly about your family crescent and information like that. Why did it go through all that for? You know why? Let's back up to Job 8:8. Let me show you something. That's why we come humble. And one thing about it, the middle spirit would dictate your lesson. The reason why that was said, because of Job 8:8. What does it say in Job 8:8?
Job 8:8. For inquire, I pray you, of the former age, and prepare yourself to the search of their fathers.
See, so that's what you always got to do. Whatever your dad is, that's who you is. So you got to always search and find out, well, who is your father? Whatever your father is, that's who you is. So that's one of the greatest mysteries of teaching, and that's why history has been lost, but it's not been lost. It's because we read a word, and we forget. To understand one thing, if you call yourself by that name, then who is your father? Now, that was him and hijacked everybody up. When you ask the question, you got a name on the table, then who the father to that name? Let's back up to Numbers chapter 1. We're going to Numbers chapter 1 now, Sister G. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 1, and let's see if we can tighten that up. In Numbers chapter 1, look right down at verse 4. Let's see that, Numbers chapter 1:2-4, then skip down to 16-18. Numbers, chapter 1, 2 down to verse 4, 16 through 18. Let's see what it says.
Numbers, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 and 16 through 18. Numbers, chapter 1, verse 2. Take you the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the family of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls. 3. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. 4. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the family of his father. Verse 16. These were the renown of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. 17. And Moses and Aaron took these men, which are expressed by their names. 18. And they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the household family of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, by their polls.
Now we're going to go right back again and we're going to read verse 1 again. Now, what I want you to do for this national audience, what was the reason that when you read verse 1:1 over there in Ezra, what was the reason and what was they following? Come back and read again Ezra, 2 Ezra 1:1 again. Read that again now. Then I want you to break that down, Sister G. Israel. What is the purpose of that? After we've done the research, now for this national audience, what's so important about that? Read 1:1 again.
2 Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1. The second book of the seer, Ezra, the son of Sarias, the son of Ezrahite, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Sadanes, the son of Sadak, the son of Ikatab, 2, the son of Achias, the son of Phinehas, the son of Vishael, the son of Amaris, the son of Izziel, the son of Moram, the son of Arna, the son of Ozias, the son of Gorin, the son of Abiasol, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar.
Now you in a teaching, you in a class teaching at Sister G. Israel. Now what was the reason why you went through all that to bring Ezra in on the table? What is the reason why you read all that? Now you doing some teaching now. So what is the reason you had somebody read all that? For what reason?
Every one male is the head of his family, the family of his fathers.
And that's exactly what we're going to teach
by the seed.
And that's the reason, and to come, we're going to go in and get into the crescent. We'll get into the crescent because one thing about it, the children of Israel understood who they were because they always identify themselves to a father, tracing back to who they are, but that done got away from them, and now we got to bring all that information back to show you how you identify yourself as the people of a book. By just whatever, just how you're doing, letting the world know that he come from a crescent pedigree background from the descendants of Levi. And that's the key right there. And that's why propaganda is heavy, because they just say, we the Jew, but the Jew don't have no father. But then they'll get away with it because you do not have them to prove that if you a Jew, who is the father of you? Now, that's get them down. And you ain't got to pick up no weapon no more than the Bible. So now we found out now we see Ezra soundly in 1 verse 1 laid out to the children of Israel that he is direct line from the priesthood of Aaron. And that's big talk. Now skip down to 3 through 8, 14 through 19, 25 through 27. Come on.
Verse 3, the son of Aaron, of the tribe of Levi, which was captive in the land of the Medes, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of the Persians. Verse 4, and the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, 5, go your way and show my people their sinful deeds and their children their wickedness which they have done against me, that they may tell their children's children. 6, because the sins of their fathers are increased in them, for they have forgotten me and have offered unto strange, to false Yahuwahs. 7. Am not I even he that brought them out of the land of Egypt, political Mizraim, from the land of bondage? But they have provoked me unto wrath and despised my counsels. 8. Pull you off then the hair of your head and cast all evil upon them, for they have not been obedient unto my Torah instructions, but it is a rebellious people. 14. I gave you light in a pillar of fire, and great wonders have I done among you. Yet have you forgotten me, saith Yahuwah. 15. Thus saith Almighty Yahuwah, the quails were as a token for you. I gave you tents for your safeguard. Nevertheless, you murmured there. 16. And triumphed not in my name for the destruction of your enemies, but ever to this day do you murmur. 17. Where are the benefits that I have done for you? When you were hungry and thirsty in the wilderness, did you not cry unto me? 18. Saying, why has you brought us into this wilderness to kill us? It had been better for us to have served Mizraim than to die in this wilderness. 19. Then had I pity upon your mourning and gave you manna to eat. So you did eat ministering spirits bread. Verse 25 and 27. Seeing you have forsaken me, I will forsake you also. When you desire me to be gracious unto you, I shall have no mercy upon you. 27. You have not, as it were, forsaken me, but your own self, saith Yahuwah.
You see what the man is saying? He said, when you don't do what I got written in this book, he said, you ain't really hurt me. Yeah, I'm telling you, you ain't hurt me. You hurt yourself. Because we going to make note when you drag your feet according to stuff saying Yahuwah. You're not hurting me for what you're doing. You hurt yourself. By you not doing what Yahuwah got written in his book, this man is adding up things to come, and all of them come back on you. Because you got to have urgency on doing Yahuwah's business. So you're not hurting him when you miss the Sabbath days and are sitting on the camp. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. And Yahuwah's going to bring that to the table with you. And let me see if I pull a rabbit out of that. I gotta lay a little foundation. Before I lay that foundation, Mother of Israel, let me hear what it says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 2 through 5, and Mother E have me verse 10 through 12 and 19 and 20. And Sister G Israel, I want to go to the book of Jubilee. I'm going to book a Jubilee. I'm going to look at something at Jubilee. I'm going to take a look at something in Jubilees. Jubilees chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. I'm just not going to stop there. But let me hear what's written in Ezekiel chapter 22 through 5. Mother dear Israel, what is that?
Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 2 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. Then came the word of Yahuwah unto me, saying, verse 3, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, say unto them, thus says Yahuwah, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, says Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. Verse 4. Will thou judge them, son of man? Will thou judge them? Cause them to know the abomination of their father. Verse 5. And say unto them, thus says Yahweh, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the family of Israel and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, Mizraim, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Come on, I'm going to read, give me
14. Thus the sons of Noah divided to their sons in the presence of Noah, their father. And he bound them all by an oath and invoked a curse on everyone that sought to seize any portion which had not fallen to him by his lot. 15. They all said, so be it, so be it, for themselves and their sons forever throughout their generations until the day of judgment, on which Yahweh shall judge them with a sword and with fire for all the unclean wickedness of their errors, that they have fulfilled, that they have filled the earth with, which are transgressions, uncleanness, and fornication, and sin.
Now, Israel, what is Yahweh going to judge the ones that have transgressed against his word? What is he going to use, according to verse 15, to judge them according to them not doing his word? What are you going to judge them with? Then we can read.
On which Yahweh shall judge them with a sword and with fire.
Ain't that something? Yahweh is going to judge you with a sword and some fire. If you're not where you're supposed to be in, when he comes, if you're not doing what he got written in his book, he's going to judge you on with the sword and the fire. So we can read that. That's the foundation. Now, let's go, you remember one thing, you got to always call yourself by your pedigree name. And all the sons that Noah had was three sons. So let's go to the ninth chapter, Sister G. Israel. We're coming right back here again. We're going to the ninth chapter, take it to verse 18. We're going to Genesis chapter 9 and take it verse 18 down to verse 20. Let's see what we're going to work out of this. We're going to chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. Genesis chapter, chapter 9, verse 1, 19 and 20. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, 19 and 20. I'm about a bird, come on.
Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 and 19 through 20. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And Yahweh blessed Moses and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Verse 19 through 20. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard.
So, three sons. He had three sons by name. That's good. Now, so when you talk about, now let's run to what that's supposed to mean. Where would we go in Psalms to find out what that's supposed to mean? Now, that means something real big in Psalms. Can anybody help me out? I'll send you that, Mother Eve. Let's go to 49:11. Now, what does that supposed to mean? What you just got to say, what do that supposed to mean? Let's go to Psalm 49:11. Let's see what that means.
Psalm chapter 49, verse 11. Their inward thought is that their families continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names.
You gotta call your land after your own name. Now that's big. Now that's big talk. Now, probably if we don't learn nothing else, understand one thing: a people must call their land after their own land. Now that's big talk, there. That's big talk. So wherever you at, you supposed to be in a land. And that land will be your family crescent. That land will be your family crescent, because when you identify your name to our land, and that's one of the greatest mysteries. And tell me one thing, Sister G. Israel, how many lands build on the planet Earth today? How much, how many lands on the planet Earth today, according to what we just got to read, how many lands on the planet Earth today? This big talk here. Now I'm going somewhere with this. I hope to see you work with me a little bit. How many lands it is according to what we have read so far? Who all got, oh, eyes, who all got land? Who all got land?
Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three.
Excellent. So I don't care where you migrate at. The ones that have land that we can read is who again?
Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
And tell me what land belongs to Shem. What is Shem's land? What is his family crescent for land?
Shem has a double portion, east and west.
East and the west world belongs to Shem, and the eastern world belongs to Shem. So there is a destiny right here. So whoever in the west world, whoever in the east world, who does the land belong to now, Sister Israel?
Shem.
So whoever in the southern world, who does the land belong to?
Ham.
And whoever in the northern world, who does the land belong to?
Japheth.
Now let's go back and see what he said again. Let's run right back and see what he said. Now, what you just got, let's go right back to the heavenly tablet information in Jubilee chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. With that understanding, we're going to Jubilee chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. With that understanding, let's see who we're working with.
Jubilee, chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Thus the sons of Noah, that is Shem, Ham, and Japheth, divided to their sons in the presence of Noah, their father. And he bound them all by an oath and invoked a curse on everyone that sought to seize any portion which had not fallen to him by lot. 5:15. They all said, so be it, so be it, for themselves and their sons forever, throughout their generations until the day of judgment, on which Yahweh shall judge them with a sword and with a fire, for all the unclean wickedness of their errors that they have filled the earth with, which are transgression, uncleanness, and fornication, and sin.
Mm-hmm. Now, we'll get some more of that in a minute. Let's come inside of Cap verse 1, Mordea of Israel. Look at 2:1 down to verse 4, and Mother E, have me verse 12, waiting on me. Deuteronomy chapter 2, 1 down to verse number 5. And Mother E, have me verse 12, have me verse 12, waiting on me. Deuteronomy chapter 2, 1 through 5, about Mother D.F. Israel. And Mother E, have me verse 12, waiting on me. We going somewhere with this. 12 and 22. And Mother Z, have me the verse that's written over in the 24th chapter of Hosea, polluted but Joshua. I want to pick it up around by verse number 24th chapter. I want to pick it up around by 24. Pick it up at verse number what I want, 24. Now, we're going to learn something on the way of learning something. We're going to pick it up at 24, verse number 15, Mother Z, down to verse number 20. 15 to 20. All right. Enough saying on that. And Sister G, I'm going to be right back in the book of Jubilee shortly. So get that warmed up for me after we hear what we got to hear right now. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as Yahweh spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. Verse 2. And Yahweh spake unto me, saying, verse 3, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Verse 4. And command you the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of this of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. And they shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Verse 5. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession.
Wait a minute. You mean Esau and his brothers got a land?
Yes.
What is their land?
Mount Seir.
Mount Seir. Oh. And who gave them Mount Seir?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Read verse 8.
Verse 8.
Deuteronomy
chapter 2, verse 8. And when we passed by from our brothers, the children of Esau, which dwell in fear, through the way of the plain from and from
Ezra, Geba.
We turn and possess, we turn and pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab.
Who is Moab? Today. Who they love?
Chinese.
Oh, who's telling all that? Mother East, what's going on in that verse 12?
Jehoram also dwelt in Seir before time. But the children of Esau succeeded him when they had destroyed him from before them and dwelt in their Seir, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Yahweh gave unto them.
Now the reason why Jehoram was defeated and destroyed, because there's a prophecy in the book of Jubilee telling the children of Canaan, do not go down into the land that don't belong to you. So when you go down, when you do things that Yahweh tell you not to do, and you do it anyway, look for a penalty. It can be swift, or it can linger on. So right now, if you see you transgress against Yahweh, sinning against him, it can be swift, he kill on you, or he can lean it on and wait till proper hours to deliver you up.
Verse 22. As he did to the children of Esau, which fell in Seir, when he destroyed their Haran from before them, and they succeeded them, and dwelled in their seed, even unto this day.
Verse 29.
And the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which Yahweh, our Yahweh, gives us.
Oh, so everybody got a land they're supposed to have, and a land supposed to have your word on it.
Amen.
Your land. So everybody got a land. And you got to identify yourself to the land. And that's the reason we're going to teach a little bit later. We got a lot of stuff to teach you on about your family question. You You got to know who your name is, because your name identifies with the land. Where you from? But if you let somebody duke you out your name, and you call yourself Willie Earl or Benedict, you slowing the process down. That's why I can't help you with this kind of mindset. You got to identify you in your name. It will be the family question. You know what that word means? Identifying your family bloodline. Identifying where you are in your family. You must use your biblical name, because it always points you to where I know if they use their biblical name, it'll point you to where we take you to. It'll get you to that place. So that's why it's so important for you to know who you are, see, boy. Come on, Mother. Mother Z, what you working with?
Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15 to 20.
Yes, ma'am.
Verse 15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Yahweh, choose you this day who you will serve.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the Yahweh,
So with all that paganism that you were serving, he said, now you got a choice to do.
Oh.
He said, you got a choice to do now. Now, what is the choice you're going to do? You going to do what your father did over there, deal with all that paganism? Or you going to come clean? Come on.
Whether your father, which your father served, that was on the other side of the flood, or the false Yahweh, the Amorites.
Yeah, Canaanites, yeah.
In whose land he dwell. But as for me, and my family house, we will serve the Yahweh.
Oh, you see what he said? He said, I tell you what we're going to do. What my family, who is my family going to serve there, Mother Z?
Israel.
No, our family going to serve who? Who we going to serve?
Oh, Yahweh.
We're going to serve us some Yahweh. We going to find out what Yahweh got on the table, and we going to serve what he got on the table, and we going to get our blessing by serving what he got on the table. 16.
Verse 16. And the people answered and said, Yahweh forbid that we should forsake the Yahweh, to serve other false Yahwehs.
Yes.
Verse 17. For the Yahweh, Abba Yahweh, it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, polluted for Mizraim. But from the house of bondage, and which did those great sights in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through those who, when we perish. Verse 18. And the Yahweh drive out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Yahweh, for he is our Yahweh. Verse 19. And Oshua And Joshua saluted for Oshua, said unto the people, he cannot serve the Yahweh, for he is a righteous Yahweh. He is a jealous Yahweh. He will not forgive your transgression, nor your sin. Verse 20, if he forsakes the Yahweh and serves strange false Yahwehs, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good.
So we find out right now that because you know your Yahweh, but you have to understand what he's saying. That's the talk he's saying right there. So what is he saying Israel? What is he saying in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3? What are you trying to tell us? Romans, Israel, Steve Roy, what are you trying to tell us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3?
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, righteous, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. 3, for I say through the grace, mercy given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to every man the measure of the faith, belief in the covenant.
And don't be looking no pat on the back when you're doing Yahweh's will. That is your what kind of service?
Mm-hmm. Reasonable service.
That's your reasonable service. When you hear no pat on the back, that is your reasonable service. Now back up to Jubilee chapter 1:1. There, Sister G, Israel. We might well beat that a little bit and take it out in verse number 3. Let's look at Jubilee chapter 2. On page 2, 1 down to verse 3. Let's see what it says in 1, verse 3. Jubilee, chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. What does it say?
Jubilees, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3.
Yeah, well, hold that point, Just read. Just read one line, and we're going to do a little precept on that one line. We at the movie theater on this one line. What's that one line say? Read one line first.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Just one line, and I need to do a little precept on that one line. What's that
you
one
need
line
one
say?
Line of what?
Yeah, first line, read one line, and stop it there, read one line. The mental spirit of the presence spoke to Moses according to the word of Yahweh.
Oh, verse 1? Oh, second, Jubilees, chapter 2, verse 1. The ministering spirit of the presence of Yahweh spoke to Moses according to the word of Yahweh.
Good. Now, right there, now, who in class can tell me who that we can read is this
Mm-hmm. The spirit of the presence that spoke to Moses that we can read. Now, let's precept this so we can be clear of who is what's going on here. And Mother Ehab means Matthew chapter 12, 31, 32, 36, 37. So who is this, the minister of the presence, spoke to Moses according to the words of Yahweh? Who is this that we can read? Let me out there, Mother Z. Who can we read? Now, there it is in that book. For thy great mercy. For our great mercy. See, you know what? You've been quoting scriptures in your prayer. Right there. Not that we deserve anything, but for your great mercy. See that, Mother E? Hallelujah. Wow. Verse 19, 20.
Down to verse 22, fell down to 22. What does it say? Verse 19.
Yes.
O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, hearken and do
your
thing. The fear. Not for thine own sake. O my Yahweh, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name.
Oh, the city and the people is called. That's why you got to know who you are. The people and the city is called by thy name. Now, you see how it's so important you got to use your name. Your name is your family crescent. When you tell who you are, identify with something. It'll identify you are something that's real big. I got to put a rabbit out of that. You know what that's going to identify you to be? Mosi of Israel. Let me show you what that's going to identify you to be. When you understand this book is the greatest piece of weapon you need. And Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, look what it's going to say in the book of Ezekiel. He's going to make a profound statement in the book of Ezekiel, and we want to see what he's going to say. He's going to say something in the book of Ezekiel. And what are you going to say? Somebody help me out. What are you going to say? In verse number, give me the last three lines in verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 36, the last three lines in verse 20. What are you going to say, that Mother D up Israel?
Ezekiel 36.
Yes, 36, give me the last three lines. Pick it up where it says these.
In verse 20.
Yes. 36:20, think it was that D.
Oh, my goodness.
Last three lines.
These, okay,
yeah.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 20, at the last three lines.
Yeah.
These are the people of Yahweh and are gone forth out of his land.
Ain't that something? We're the people of who?
Yahweh.
That's why you got to use the name. Because then, once you use your name, you identify these are the people. Wait a minute, I can't go out of his head. These are the people of Yahweh. See, when you're wearing them bridges or something, they know it. These are the people of Yahweh. That's going to be giving you all the keys, them bridges, keeping them Sabbath days. And the people's going to say, these are the people of Yahweh that are going forward out of his land. So his land is the land over there. That land belongs to him. But everybody will jump because they, you know, but we had a hand to come. Matter of fact, back and read that verse 8. Let's see what it says in verse 8. He'll tell you about yourself. Verse 8, D of Israel.
Ezekiel?
Same book.
Oh.
Verse 8.
Ezekiel 36, verse 8. But you, O mountain of Israel.
Yeah.
You shall shoot forth your branch.
Yes.
And yield your fruit.
Yes.
To my people.
Who?
Of Israel.
Yes.
For you are at hand to come.
And that's up. We are. We at hand to come, y'all. All we got to do is wake up. Put them branches on. Put that last name Israel. Then you become the people of the Yahweh. And when Yahweh hears, he just saw the daughter crying or whatever way, moaning and groaning. You go, hey, that's my child out there making some noise. What's going on out there that I need to know? See, that's how it works. Now, we got that out the way. What we left off on? Back to our Daniel. Finish up with that.
Daniel.
Yeah, you're right. Come back to Daniel. You finish verse 19. Now I think you're on 20 to 22 now.
Right. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. And while I was speaking,
yeah,
praying, confessing my sins.
Yes.
And the sins of my people Israel.
Yes.
And presenting my supplication before the Yahweh, my Yahweh, for the righteous mountains of my Yahweh.
Yes.
Verse 20. 21.
Yeah,
21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel.
Here he come again. So you see, every time when you're doing it right, here come old Gabriel. See, Gabriel is the messenger of Yahweh. If you're doing it right, Gabriel going to show up. Gabriel going to show up. If you got, you can't understand what's going on, then here come Gabriel to show up. Now he's showing up because you was praying good, Daniel is here. Now here comes Gabriel, the messenger of Yahweh to you. Now here he comes. What do you say?
I have seen in a vision at the beginning.
Yes.
Being called to fly swiftly.
Uh-huh.
Touch me about the time of the healing operation.
Yes.
Verse 22. And he informed me.
Oh, and when Gabriel showed up, what did Gabriel do for him?
Informed me.
He informed me. By doing what?
And talk with me.
Oh, that's how you inform someone. By talking with me. You don't get no jerking and kicking and running and you got something. You ain't got nothing but a crown and some sore legs and the spirit of Satan on you. You don't get nothing unless somebody talk to you. Go ahead, read.
And said,
what
did
say?
Daniel,
what?
I am now come forth to give you, to give these skills and understanding.
So, when the mental spirit of Yahweh leave you, or when the sixth anointing captain gets through teaching you, what are you supposed to have?
Skills and understanding.
Skills and understanding. That's why we have to meet whoever we come in contact, where they at. Wherever they at, that's what we need them at. We give them skill and understanding that you've been duped in that understanding, and now we'll show you how to correct it. All you got to have the right spirit that we take from there. Now, let's go back to what we were working with. What were we working with then, Sister G? Now, we read verse 1. So now we're going to put it in verse 1 for this fast the heart is done to understand one thing. One in his presence. Now, you're going to get the verse 2, and now you deliver the knockout verse in verse 2. So you get warmed up in verse 1 with that, who is this present? And then in verse 2, you get an opportunity to really knock out the fog in verse 2. Down in verse 3, come on.
Jubilees, chapter 2, verse 2. For on the first day he created heavens which are above, and the earth and the waters, and all the spirits which serve before him, which are the ministering spirits of the presence of Yahweh, Gabriel specifically, and the ministering spirits of sanctification, and the ministering spirits of the spirit of fire, and the ministering spirits of the spirit of the wind, and the ministering spirits of the spirit of the clouds, and of darkness, and of snow, and of hail, and of white frost, and the ministering spirits of the voices, and of the thunder, and of the lightning, and the ministering spirits of the spirits of cold and of heat, and of winter, and of spring, and of autumn, and of summer, and of all the spirits of his creatures which are in the heavens and on the earth. He created the bottomless pit and the darkness, evening and night, and the light, dawn and day, which he has prepared in the knowledge of his mind. Verse.
Hold that part. Hold that part right there. Now, You will name a whole lot of things that's going on. So we know Gabe don't do all these things. So now we got to go find out. We need to preach on that. We need to find out. Well, wait a minute now. We know Gamer is the one that bring that message down, but he'll name a whole lot of mental spirits. So now, for edification of this national audience, let's go to the book of Enoch, chapter 20, and let's read down what is the name of all these people doing all that, all this good stuff. Let's find out who's naming all these mental spirits that's doing all this good stuff by the 20th chapter and pick up at verse 1. And let's read down and get all back to read. You know what we can do? We could have put names in and out. But for to edify this national audience, we're going to the 20th chapter of the book of Enoch, and let's read all the names that do all this good stuff. We're going to read the first book, Enoch chapter 20, 1 down to verse 8. Let's get all these names, what you just got to read, and what their job or assignment is. 20, 1 through 8, from the G. Israel, Frank.
First Enoch, chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. These are the ministering spirits. These are the names of the righteous ministering spirits who watch. 2. Uriel, one of the righteous ministering spirits who is over the world, turmoil and terror. 3. Raphael, one of the righteous ministering spirits who is over the spirits of men. 4. Rigel, one of the righteous ministering spirits who takes vengeance on the world of the luminaries. 5. Michael, one of the righteous ministering spirits set over the virtues of mankind and over chaos. 6. Sarakwell, one of the ministering spirits who is set over the spirits who sin in the spirit. 7. Gabriel, one of the ministering spirits who is over paradise and the serpents and the cherubims. 8. Remiel, one of the righteous ministering spirits whom Yahweh set over those who rise.
Now how many count up message, how many mental spirits got high authorities with Yahweh? And that's the point we make it right there. How many that got that Yahweh got specific job on? How many is his top one? How many?
There's 8. No, 7.
How many?
7.
Seven. All right, so 7 got top authority. Now this Bible study class, what's the precept to that? Now, what's the precept to that? See, this is Bible study class. See, one thing about it, once you know what you know, then we in business. See, now we got the precept that. And find out, since we know right now, he got 7 mental spirits, is top, got a top job. Now, we want to precept that. Now, where will we go to precept that? Where will we go?
I can't find my own.
Where will we go to precept that? Let's go to the book of Toby we're going to the book of Toby. Go to the book of Toby. Yeah. So, G. Israel, we're going to the book of Toby. And we want to find out from one of the mental spirits exactly how many is there in the book of Toby. We're going to the book of Toby. And And I want everybody in class to look down to when the milk spirit gave the number. Now, who gonna come up with it? Who gonna come up with that? Now, you gotta precept that and find out in the book of Toby, where are we going? Because Sister G said 7. Now, we gonna get a precept to that and see, can that hold up? Now, where were we going to do that at? Somebody help me out. This Bible study class, you know what's going on here? Go to 24:32, Mother E. Luke 24:32. Go to Luke 24:32. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? What is we doing here? Luke 24. What are we doing here?
called his son Tobias, and said unto him, my son, see that the man have his wages with you, and you must give him more.
Officer J, we're going to read down until we get who right. Now, I asked the question, how many in class we heard an eight, and you said seven. We're going now and clarify exactly how many in right. And we're going to find out from the mouth of one of these mental spirits is going to give the number one answer. So keep reading down until we get the number one answer. Come on.
Verse 2. And Tobias said unto him, O Father, it is no harm to me to give him half of those things which I have brought. 3. For he has brought to me again to you in safety, and made whole my wife, and brought me the money, and likewise healed you. 4. Then the old man said, it is due unto him. 5. And he called the ministering spirit, and he said unto him, take half of all that you have brought, and go away in safety. 6. Then he took them both apart and said unto him, Bless Yahweh, praise him and magnify him, and praise him for the things so which he has done unto you in the sight of all that live. It is good to praise Yahweh and exalt his name, and honorably to show forth the works of Yahweh. Therefore, be not slack to praise him. 7. It is good to keep close the secret of a king, but it is honorable to reveal the works of Yahweh. Do that which is good, and no evil shall touch you. 8. Prayer is good with fasting, and alms, and righteousness, A little with righteousness is better than much with unrighteousness. It is better to give alms than to lay up gold. 9. For alms does deliver from death and shall purge away all sin. Those that exercise alms and righteousness shall be filled with life. 10.
Hold that nine again. Well, hold on the first nine. So you telling me, according to this great big ministry of Yahweh saying, when you pay your tithe, free will offering, and donation, Yahweh can reserve what in verse 9? Read verse 9. So you have to understand something. This is the mental spirit from heaven telling you when you pay your alms, what that means, your money, tithes, free will offering, donation to the ministry. What do it say happened for you in verse 9? Look it louder, Sister Israel.
Verse 9. For alms does deliver from death and shall purge away all sins. Those that exercise alms and righteousness shall be filled with life.
So if you exercise and your free will offering, it can prolong your life. That was the mental spirit is saying. And what else he saying?
Ten. But they that sin are enemies to their own life. 11. Surely I will keep close nothing from you, for I said, It was good to keep close the secret of a king, but that it was honorable to reveal the works of Yahuwah. 12. Now, therefore, when you didst pray, and Sarah, your daughter-in-law, I did bring the remembrance of your prayers before the righteous one. And when you didst bury the dead, I was with you likewise. 13. And when you did not delay to rise up and leave your dinner to go and cover the dead, your good deed was not hid from me, but I was with you. 14. And now Yahuwah has sent me to heal you and Sarah, your daughter-in-law. 15. I am Raphael, one of the seven righteous ministering spirits which present the prayers of the saints, the 12 tribes of Israel, and which go in and out before the greatness of the righteous one. 16. Then they were both...
Verse 15. Ain't that something? You mean this Bible just told us something in verse 15? What did that verse tell us in verse 15 out of Tobit, chapter 12, verse 15? This is who tell us everything in verse 15. What do you say, Sister G. Israel?
I am Raphael, one of the seven righteous ministering spirits which present the prayers of the saints, the 12 tribes of Israel, and which go in and out before the presence, the greatness of Yahuwah.
And what did he say in verse 10? And what did this man say, this minister from heaven, that go eyeball to eyeball with Yahuwah the Son? Matter of fact, preach up that, the 7:10 of
the Son.
Of book of heavenly 7:10. Wait, no. Now, what did the seven from heaven say in verse 10?
But they that sin are enemies to their own life.
What? You mean you sin... You are a what?
Enemy
to,
who? To your own, yourself, your own life.
Do you hear that? The prodigal son. The prodigal son. Do you hear what the man just said? Did you just hear what he just said? Read that again.
Tobit, chapter 12, verse 10. But they that sin are enemies to their own life.
When you sin, you're enemy to your own life. Now, Mother Z, what is the Bible definition of sin? What do the Bible tell us when we sin? And 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. What is the biblical definition when we sin? Because we find out now when you sin, remember we read earlier, he said, you ain't really hurting me, you're hurting yourself when you don't do what I tell you that's written in the Bible. We read that coming out of the book of, second book of Ezra. He said, you ain't really hurting me by not doing my will, you hurting yourself. And that's in 1:25 and 27. He said, so when you're not keeping Yahuwah's Sabbath day and doing Yahuwah's will, you hurting yourself. And everybody come in contact with you. That's what you're really doing. Come on, Mother Z. Chapter 3, 3, 3 and 4 says what?
1 John, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Verse 3.
3, 3 and verse 4. What does it say?
1 John, chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. And whatever and whenever And every man or woman that has this hope in him or her purify him or himself or herself, if even as he is proved. Verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgressed also the Torah instruction. For sin is the transgression of the Torah, of the law, Torah instruction.
Oh, so the Bible definition saying, whosoever breaks the first five books, that is sin. So if you don't learn nothing else, so what is sin? When you break the first five books, you are sinning. And then he said, real plain, out of the mouth of the most smartest man he ever made, Malik, the most smartest man he ever made, he told him to put something in writing. And where are we going to find out what he said in writing? He said something in writing. To the most wisest man he ever made, he said, now, Solomon, you is the wisest man I ever made. So I want you to put something down in your book about what we're talking about right now in 836. Solomon's book, 836. He says something in 836. What he says, now this is the wisest man in the world. We go on to Proverbs, Mother Eve. Now we're gonna listen to the wisest man in the world to ask for this wisdom. So you look, when you sin against your mighty one, what do we say in 836 of the book of Proverbs, Mother Eve? What does it say? And Moses of Israel have me second Ezra chapter 1, 25 and 27. Wait on.
Proverbs chapter 8.
Verse 36.
Verse 36.
Listen real good. Prodigal son. Listen real good to this, prodigal son.
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me shall die.
What? Read that again.
But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me, love death.
Oh, so Yahweh is telling you when you sin against me, you sin against Yahweh. You ain't sinned against the six anointed captives, the voices of the true Israelites. We got the gates open for all to pack their way in. You really sin against who?
Yahweh.
Then what do you love?
Yeah.
You mean that book say that? Well, you got to read that one more time and call that verse out.
36.
Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36.
What does it say? But he that sinneth against me wronged his own soul.
Mm.
And they that hate me love death.
You love what?
Death.
Hate that song. I mean, you love to for your relatives to go to funerals there. You love them there. Second Ezra chapter 1, 25 and 27. Mother D of Israel, what does it say?
Second Ezra chapter 1.
Verse 25 and 27, what does it say?
Verses
25. We're going to read 25 and 27. Stay on top. 25 and 27. Listen good.
2 Ezra 1:25-27.
Yes.
Verse 25.
What does it say?
Seeing you have forsaken me,
yes,
I will forsake you also.
What did he say?
Seeing you have forsaken me, I will forsake you also.
Yes.
When you desire me,
uh-huh,
to be merciful
unto
you.
Oh, so when you desire me to be merciful to you, he's up to after you. So now when you desire me to be merciful to you, go ahead.
I shall have no mercy upon you.
What did he say?
I shall have no mercy upon you.
Go ahead and read.
Verse 26. whensoever you shall call upon me, I will not hear you.
What? When you call on me, you mean when I go Yahweh, 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 he gonna say what?
Whensoever you shall call upon me, I will not hear you.
Uh-huh.
For you have defiled your hand with blood.
Yes.
And your feet are swift to commit manslaughter.
Go ahead.
Verse 27.
Listen.
You have not as it were forsaken me.
He said, you ain't really forsaken me. He said, when you're not doing what I've got written in this Bible, you're not forsaking me. Go ahead.
But your own self.
You're saying what?
Your own self.
Go ahead and read.
Says Yahweh.
That's what Yahweh is saying. So when you're not doing Yahweh's will written in his Bible, who will you hurt?
Your own self.
I don't care who to my left, who to my right. I got to stand for myself when it comes down to some tough things, Yahweh. Is that what we read here? See, y'all got to understand that. When somebody go contrary, AWOL or whatever, well, okay, fine. That don't make me got to hide from the bed. I got to roll. Because I got to pull a rabbit out of that. So he's saying, listen, you're not forsaking me. You forsaking your own self. He said, now, you got to do something. Wait a minute. Now, what I need? Can somebody help me out? What I need? Who will help me out? Somebody help me out. I have a sickness on the chair. Poke up something. Tell me something. What I need? What I need to precept that with? Oh, I ain't getting nowhere. What do I need to precept that? He said, you're not hurting me. You hurting your own self. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 there, Sister G. Israel. We're going to Acts chapter 2. Well, now let's take a look at that. So he's telling you something. Hey, listen, when you're not doing Yahweh's, what Yahweh got written, you're not hurting. You hurt your own self. Now, in the book of Acts, what are we working with? Pick it up at 2:36. Let's see the text of G Israel 2:36 down to verse 39. Let's see what we got to do when we find out that you're not hurting, you hurt yourself. Let's see what happens and who he's telling this to in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, down to verse 40. 2:36 to verse 40, come on.
Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 40. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all of the nation of Israel know assuredly that Yahweh has made the same Yahweh the Son whom you crucified, both Yahweh the Son and Yahweh the Anointed Son. 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their mind and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, followers, men and brethren, what shall we do? 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh the Son, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the righteous spirit. 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh, our Yahweh, shall call. 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation.
He said, you got to say who?
Save yourself.
You got to save yourself. Come on, Mother Z, give me a Philippians 2:12 behind that one. So you got to say, you can't worry about, well, oh, baby, what you going to do? See what I'm going to do. He said, whether I hang with you or not, I got to go because I can't do nothing about it. I gotta save who? Look at that.
Save yourself.
Y'all got to understand?
Save yourself.
That's why you got the right person with you, and don't be back doing anything, because the only one you're going to be able to save is who?
Yourself.
You see that?
Yourself.
So you sitting there, all about what you going to do. But whether you do go or not, I'm gone. The only one I can save is who?
Yourself.
Is that what we're reading? That's Peter talking. Now we're gonna go to Philippians 2, verse number 12, Mother Z. And let's see, can we read a little bit more of that? And Mother Z of Israel have me Ezekiel 14. So brother, so what the argument is about? I can't do nothing for you one way or another. But I know what I'm gonna do. I'm bringing out running, because all I can say is who? Come on, Philippians 2:12, that Mother Z.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12.
Listen good.
Verse 12.
What?
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have already obeyed not as in my presence only, but now must more in my absence work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
What is that, Moses? You got to what?
Work out your own salvation.
Well, you know, listen, you got to work out what?
Your own
salvation. With what? With what kind of way? Fear and
trembling.
You know how, if you mess around and your clothes catch the fire on that stove, don't you be having fear and trembling trying to get it off you?
That's right.
That's how you got to deal with this man's business. You got to deal with this man's business like your clothes on fire. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Work out your own salvation. What kind of way?
Fear and trembling.
Now, come on now, come on now, mother, dear of Israel. Let's Ezekiel 14, and look at verse 14. 14. Ezekiel 14, 14.
Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14.
And mother, you have me 18 and 20 waiting on me. So you got to work out your own salvation. You better worry about who to your left or baby, what you going to do. What you do is on you. I know what I got to do. I got to work out what? Well, what kind of way? 14, come on.
Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14.
Listen to it.
Now these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it.
Yeah.
They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, says Yahweh.
Oh, you mean nobody can piggyback on my righteousness?
No.
Well, Joel, Noah, and Daniel. You mean they can't get me into the kingdom? They can't do nothing for me but me read their words and see how they got there and do the same thing they did. Well, Noah, Daniel, Job was in the land, only one they can deliver is their own soul by day of righteousness, says Yahweh. So Job's family, he can't pull them over. He only can pull himself over by his right. You got to lead by example. So this ain't, you can't be bumming around with this thing right here. You got to lead by example. And properly, they can't buy like you can't buy. Verse 18 and 20 says what, Mother Eve?
Ezekiel 14:18-20. Okay. Verse 18 and 20.
So these 3 men were in it, as I live, says the Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. Wait a minute. You mean I can't deliver my son? I can't deliver my daughter? Oh, my son, why don't you come to class, my son? No, you can't deliver him one way or the other. But I don't care what you do, you can't deliver son nor daughter. Go ahead and read.
But they only shall be delivered themselves.
You got all one you can deliver is who?
Yourself.
That's all you can deliver. I can tell you, but I'm gone. I ain't going to be wrestling with you. I can tell you what time it is. But I tell you one thing, I'm gone. Because I can't deliver you one way or another. All I do, Mr. Law, is get myself cut off, bumming around with you, trying to convince you about keeping the Sabbath day, wearing fringes. I'm going to get myself cut off wrestling around with you. Verse 20, listen.
Daniel, chapter 14, verse 20. So Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. As I live, said the Yahweh, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall would deliver their own soul by their righteousness.
Y'all hear that? So regardless, we sitting there arguing anybody that's our have, our loved ones, our grandsons, and whatever. Listen, okay, I told you, I'm gone. I told you. I can't deliver you nowhere. I'm going to get myself cut off. That's why I'm worried about why you won't do right. Huh? Is that what we're reading here?
Yeah.
Come on back there, Sister G. Come on back there and pick up back in verse 17. Now come on back to the book of what we're reading out of Jubilee. Pick up in verse 17. Let's read a little bit. Back to Jubilee. What was that chapter of?
Jubilee, chapter 2.
Yeah, you know you left, you read 1, 2, and 3. Now skip down to verse 17 to 33.
Okay. Jubilees, chapter 2, verses 17 through 33. Okay. Verse 17. He gave us a great sign, the Sabbath day, that we should work 6 days, but keep Sabbath on the seventh day from all work. 18. All the ministering spirits of the presence of Yahweh and all the ministering spirits of sanctification, these two great types of ministering spirits, he has told to tell us to keep the Sabbath with him in heaven and on earth. 19. And he said to us, look, I will separate to myself a people from among all the peoples, and these shall keep the Sabbath day, and I will sanctify them to myself as my people, and will bless them as I have sanctified the Sabbath day, and do sanctify it to myself. Even so will I bless them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Yahweh. 20. I have chosen the offspring of Israel from among all that I have seen, and have written him down as my firstborn son, and have sanctified him to myself forever and ever. And I will teach them the Sabbath day, that they may keep the Sabbath on it from all work. 21. He created in it a sign in accordance with which they should keep Sabbath with us on the seventh day to eat and to drink and to bless him who has created all things as he has blessed and sanctified to himself a particular exclusive people above all people, and that they should keep Sabbath together with us. 22. He caused his commands to rise up as a sweet odor acceptable before him all the days. 23. There were 22 heads, representatives of mankind from Adam to Israel, and 22 kinds of work, creation, were made until the seventh day. This is blessed and righteous, and the former also is blessed and righteous. And this one serves with that one for sanctification and blessing. 24. Israel and his offspring were granted that they should always be the blessed and righteous ones of the first testimony and Torah instructions, even as he had sanctified and blessed the Sabbath day on the seventh day. 25. He created heaven and earth and everything that he created in 6 days. Yahweh the Son made the seventh day righteous for all his works. Therefore, he commanded on this, on its behalf, that whosoever does any work on it shall die, and that he who defiles it shall surely die. 26. Because of this, command the children of Israel to observe this day, that they may keep it righteous, and not do on it any work, and not to defile it, as it is more righteous than all other days. 27. And whosoever profanes it shall surely die, and whosoever does any work on it shall surely die eternally, that the children of Israel may observe this day throughout their generations, and not be rooted out of the land. For it is a righteous day and a blessed day. 28. Everyone who observes it and keeps Sabbath on it from all his work will be righteous and blessed throughout all days as we are blessed. 29. Declare and say to the children of Israel the Torah instruction of this day, that they should keep Sabbath on it, and that they should not forsake it in the error of their minds, and that it is not according to Torah to do any work on it which is not suitable, to do their own pleasure on it, and that they should not prepare anything to be eaten or drunk on it, and that it is not according to Torah to draw water or bring in or take out through their gates any burden which they had not prepared for themselves on the sixth day in their dwelling. 30, verse 30. They shall not bring or take anything from house to house on that day, for that day is more righteous and blessed than any jubilee day of the jubilees. On this we keep Sabbath, and keep Sabbath in heaven before it was made known to any flesh to keep Sabbath on earth. 31. the creator of all things, that blessed it. But he did not sanctify all people and nations to keep Sabbath, but Israel alone. Them alone he permitted to eat and drink and to keep Sabbath on the earth. 32. And the creator of all things blessed this day, which he has created for blessing and righteousness and honor above all days. 33. This poor instruction and testimony was given to the children of Israel as a poor instruction forever to their generation.
So the Sabbath day is for, we ain't got to do it no more. Is that what it says?
No.
What does it say?
Forever, their generations.
Ever. So we let a preacher tell you, you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day. He don't cut his own self off, and he'll cut you off too. When you don't keep the Sabbath day, you won't cut yourself off, and you won't cut off anybody listening to you saying you ain't got to keep that no more. We just filed off on the mental spirit. It is forever. Now, we're gonna show you something what the mental spirit says, Moses of Israel. The mental spirit says what? In the book of Matthew 31, 32, 36, 37. So those who ever be around any preacher or any teacher tell you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day, then you need to read him or her the 12th chapter, verse 31, 32, 36, 37, of the of Israel, of Matthew. And then he says, if you don't keep, you got some death coming. So let's find out when do this death kick in, Mother D. We're going to find out in Luke 13, happy verse 24. Down at verse 29, we're going to see can we date when will his death kick in, because that also is written too. When the death going to kick in, the long you hearing this, is up to you to make a judgment. We're going to read about the death in Luke 13, 24 to verse 29. Come on, Mother D. of Israel.
Matthew chapter 12, verses 31, 32, 36, 37.
Yeah, where is it?
Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men and women. But the blasphemy against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven unto men and women. Verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him or her. But whosoever speaketh against the righteous spirit, it shall not be forgiven him or her, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Verse 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man or woman shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. 37. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned.
So you have, so anytime a preacher tell you, or a teacher tell you, you ain't got to keep Sabbath day, Friday night, and Saturday night, you can keep Sunday. That man got a death sentence over him. If you are that number, you got a death sentence over you. Because if you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day, you call the middle spirit from heaven a liar. And he said, if you blaspheme against the middle spirit of Yahweh, now he say, you ain't got nothing coming in this world or the world to come. All you got coming is the fact. When you say you ain't got to keep the Friday night and Saturday night, we just can do it on the first day of the week and call on Jesus. You got the death sentence on whoever that talk like that according to the mental spirit. And Yahweh said that. If you blaspheme against the righteous spirit, you ain't got nothing coming in this world or the world to come. Is that what he said? Now, when will this death kick in? Come on, Mother Eve. Let's see if we find out in Luke 13, 24. He'll tell us what to do all the way down to verse 29. But this is what we both be doing now. Let's see what he's saying. Luke 13, 24 to 29. Come on.
Luke chapter 13, verse 24 to 29. Verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate.
Yes.
For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25. And once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Yahweh, Yahweh, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not which you are. Verse 26. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drank in the presence. We have eaten and drank in your presence. And thou hast taught in our street. Verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not, which you are. Depart from me, all the works of iniquity and sin. Verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham.
Where is Abraham there right now?
Go
ahead.
When you shall see Abraham.
Where he is right now?
Dead.
Go ahead.
And Isaac.
Where Isaac is right now?
Dead.
Go ahead.
And all the seals.
Yes.
In the kingdom of Yahweh. And you are, and you yourself, first out. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east.
Yes.
And from the west.
Yes.
And from the north.
Yes.
And from the south. And shall sit down in the kingdom of Yahweh.
So we found out, so now we know when the death kick in. When he raised up Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that's when the death gonna kick in. That's when you go into the fight. So you, as long as you're hearing his voice, you got a chance to get in where you've been in at. But once he don't shut the door, it's over with. Read that, mother Z. Let's read that. See, once he shut the door, y'all, and you don't get this thing right, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. That's why you're going to be on fire about some Yahweh's business. My mother Z goes to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. See, you're going to be on fire about this right here because you don't know what's in store for you. Look what it says, and he tell you what to do in 25:13. Matthew, Mother Z. What did he tell you to do, Mother Z, in 25:13?
Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Verse 13. When therefore...
No, 25:13. Matthew 25:13. What does it say?
Matthew 25:13.
Yes. Yeah.
Watch therefore.
For you
know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Ain't that something? You tell him to do what?
Watch.
You better watch. You don't know when this man is coming. You don't know this man gonna take you down. You're supposed to be on fire just like somebody mess around and put your clothes on fire. I bet you akin to that. Run away. That's how you gotta be able to come down to Yahweh's business on fire. You say, watch. You never know when I'm gonna make my move on you. So you better watch. Come on, Mother Zeke, run to the 7th chapter and pick up verse 21 of Matthew. They tell you now you better be watching. And how you watching is make sure you in that number of them 6 anointed caps. And don't worry about who to your left and who to your right. You better make sure you doing Yahweh's business, because he might shut you down and you might say, I was so busy arguing at my better half, I forgot about what I'm going to be doing on the Sabbath day. Guess what? You're going to be in trouble. Yahweh will shut you down. Matter of fact, we're going to read that. And Ezekiel 24, have me 24 ways on me. Sister G had me Ezekiel 24 waiting on me. We're going 7:21. Mother Z, we're going 7:21.
Matthew?
7:21. What it says 7:21 down to verse, read 21 and 22, and Mother G.F. Israel had me 23 and 24 waiting on me. And verse number 28 and 29.
Matthew chapter 7.
Verse 21 and 22.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22.
Yeah, what does it say?
Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me,
what?
Yahweh shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, you mean because I know the name, that gonna get because I know the name? That's all I need to know is the name?
No.
Well, you got to do more. Oh, I know his name. Okay. He's telling you right now. Yeah, you know the name, but a little more go with the name. Come on, read.
Heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day,
right.
Yahweh, Yahweh, have we not
prophesied
in your name?
Yeah, yeah. Haven't we told them that we prophesied in your name? YHWH, go ahead.
And in the name, and in your name, have cast out devils.
Did we cast out devils in your name? YHWH?
And in your name did many wonderful works.
And we done many wonderful works in your name.
Right.
Come on, verse 23, Mother D.F. Israel. Come on, read a little bit.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 23.
Yes.
And then will I profess unto them.
And then I'm going to answer you. Now I'm getting ready to answer you that done all this in my name.
I never knew you.
The what?
I never knew you.
I never knew you.
Depart from me.
Get away from me.
You that work sin.
You work in sin. You know my name, but you ain't keeping my program. I got a program. And what's my program, Mother E? Mother E, what my program is in the 15th chapter, verse 37 and 38 of Numbers. What's my program? Number 15, 37, 38. What's my program?
Numbers chapter
15,
verse
37
and 38.
Yeah, what's my program?
Verse 37. And
the
Yahweh speak unto Moses, saying.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying.
Speak unto the children of Israel.
Speak to the whole 12 tribes of Israel.
And bid them.
And bid them. Order them. Order them. Bid them. Order them. What?
That they make them fringes in the border of their garments.
He said, put on some fringes in the border of your garments. Put some fringes on in the, order them to put some fringes on in the border of a clothing.
Throughout that generation.
And as long as you live, you're supposed to have on some fringes.
And that they put a fringe of your and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue.
And make sure you got a fringe with a ribbon of blue around it. So that's what you want. Now go to 22, verse 12 of Deuteronomy. Let's precept that 22, verse 12. He said, I want to see my children of Israel with some fringes on. As long as they live, I want them with some fringes on their clothing. 22, verse 12. Mother E, what does it say?
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 12. Thus shall make the fringes upon the four quarters of their vestments, where we are covered ourselves.
And you don't make no mini skirt out of it. You get them fringes down. Huh? Today he's saying right there. So he's telling you what to do. So when the women wear them fringes down below their ankle. Make sure they're below their ankle. Don't make no fashion miniskirt out of where you can't even sit down that fringes. You got it so short, you can't even sit down. Make sure you cover yourself with them fringes. That's an order from Yahweh. It's telling you what you got to do for him to look at you and see you working with something. Now, where we left off at?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 24.
Okay.
Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine.
So whosoever hear these sayings of mine.
And doeth them.
And do them.
I will liken him or her unto a wise man.
Oh, you're pretty wise if you hear what I'm saying. And not only be a hearer of the word. Hold that verse there. Sister G, what it says in 2:13 of Romans. Israel. What
does
it say in 2:13 of Romans?
Romans chapter 2, verse 13. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the Torah instructions are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the Torah instructions shall be justified.
Ain't that something? You mean I just can't sit there and listen at the word and jack my flesh? Can't do that, huh? I gotta be a what? Gotta be a jewel? You just can't hear this word and, oh, I heard the word. I'm good. I'm all good. No, no, no. Either you can be here all you want, but you better be a doer, because the doer, Sister G, and 2 Samuel 9 and verse 7, let me show you what that do, what you got if you do it in 2 Samuel 9 and verse 7. And we're going to bring Mr. Tibbs in and get his final thoughts. 9 and verse 7.
2 Ezra.
2 Ezra 9
chapter. 2 Ezra chapter 9 verse 7. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his works and by belief in the covenant whereby you have believed.
Oh, so the only way you're going to escape, Sister G. Israel, you got to have some what?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have some what? Always
he works by his work.
Gotta have some work. So if you ain't got no work, you just want to be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, you're playing with yourself. You gotta have some work to escape to be saved. We're gonna stop right there and bring Mr. Tibbs and get his final thoughts on the top part of the Saturday. Mr. Tibbs, what is your final thoughts on Thursday and Josh Wild with this electrifying class? On the top part of 7-8, you're on the clock, come out. What WCC said? Here, there's no way Mr. Tibbs going to say anything on what y'all just got through saying. M-U-T-E-X, Mr. Tibbs. Well, if your radio station, you do what you want to do. Come on back up, Mother G up Israel.
At the end of Matthew 7:24, I will liken unto him or her, to a wise man or woman who buildeth his or her house upon a rock. 25, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these saying of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man or woman, which buildeth his house upon the sand. 27. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass, when Yahweh the Son had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
Brilliant. So when the sixth and all the cap jump on this good stuff, what is the world going to be what?
Astonished.
At what?
That's the doctrine.
At this kind of teaching. See, this kind of teaching will help you out and put the thing on them. See, this will help you out and put the thing on them. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And what happened next?
Verse 29.
And this is how you got to operate. Well, if you ain't got a dime in your pocket, this is how you're supposed to operate in verse 29.
For he taught them as one having authority,
yeah,
and not as the scribes.
So that means you got to be bold with this thing. Yeah. You got to make sure you bold with this thing. You don't fumble around with this right here. You got to come bold, because we got to be clear. Super G Israel, we got to be clear, and Nahum 1, 9, and 12. See, one thing we got to be clear, Super G Israel, Nahum chapter 1, 9, and 12. We got to be clear about something. Nahum chapter 1, verse 9 and 12, what does it say?
Nahum chapter 1, verses 9 and Nahum chapter 1. Verses 9 and 12. What do you imagine against Yahweh? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. 12. Thus saith Yahweh, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more.
You hear the man saying? He said, you're not going back in captivity no more. He said, though they cry, they try to figure out how to cut down the six anointed camps. He said, they're going to lose this one. You're not going back in captivity anymore. You got to go now. You got to go. He says, no more captivity for you, no more. That's over with. Although they sneaking around like snakes, trying to figure out how to cut down the six anointed camps of voices over to his life before this word get out. But it's too late. We're going to deliver the knockout blow. Now, here go a case in point. Now, let's run to that book of Jubilees, that's Sister G. Now, you come back. All that to get to Jubilees. Now, listen to this right here. We call it the Jubilees. Now listen at this right here. We go back to Jubilees one more time, and we're going to show you something that we are aware of. We're going back to Jubilees chapter 8. We're going to Jubilees chapter 8. Well, let's go to Jubilees chapter 8 and pick it up at verse number. Let's stick it around by verse number 16. Pick up at verse 16. Jubilee chapter 8, pick up at verse 16. And take it down to verse number 17. We're going to Jubilee. Now we're going to learn something on the way of learning something. Jubilee chapter 8, verse 16. Down to verse 18. What does it say?
Jubilees, chapter 8, verses 16 through 17. It extends toward the east until it reaches the Garden of Eden, to the south of
where
it,
you read?
And from the east.
Where you at?
Jubilees chapter 8, verse 16. And from the east of the whole land of Eden and of the whole east, it turns to the east and proceeds until it reaches the east of the mountain named Rapha, and it descends to the bank of the mouth of the river Kena.
Hey, G, hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute now. Let's see if we get on the same page on this right here. Now, we're going to get on the same page so everybody will look at the same page. Now, take a look. Now, where I want you to begin at, the word's going to say, I want you to begin where the word said, it extends, and then you come down to where it says, for a detailed analysis of each land, Mad, Shem, Ham, and Japheth received. That's what I want. I want to get that out of the way on this tape right here. You see that part?
So you want me to skip to 18?
No, I was saying 16. I want a little bit more 16. Unless you're right, don't care as far as where it says. And it extends for a detailed analysis of each land mass Shem, Ham, and Japheth received. Mm-hmm. Then ancient post flood history and southern kingdom in the middle of the earth. Then it tell you scriptures toward ancient book of Jubilees toward the east. Tell it now. Come on in with that part. Tell it reach where?
And it descends to the bank of the mouth of the river Kena.
What do you read now? I want what it says.
That's what mine reads. I mean, Jubilees. If you read differently, then but I'm reading what it says here. The bottom part of
I'll read it. The region of the Garden of Eden, on the south thereof, to the south and from the east, from the whole land of Eden, and from the whole coast, it turns to the east. And proceed till it reached the east of the mountain Rapha, and it descends into the banks of the mouth of the river Kena. Verse 17.
This portion came out by lot for Shem and his sons, that they should possess it forever, to his generations forever.
Okay, good. Now, Shem's descendant folks to confess exactly what was given to them, and we are the descendants of Shem. Go talk about this. Let's see what Noah heard that Shem would do all this great big talking. What did Noah think about that with his three boys? And Shem got the best part of everything. What did old Noah think about that in verse 18?
18. Noah rejoiced that this portion came out for Shem and for his sons. And he remembered all that he had spoken with his mouth in prophecy. For he had said, blessed be Yahuwah of Shem, and may Yahuwah dwell in the dwelling of Shem.
He knew that the Garden of Eden
is righteousness. and the dwelling of Yahweh, and Mount Sinai, the center of the desert, and Mount Zion, polluted for David, Shem, Mount Shem, which is in the center of the navel of the earth. These three were created as righteous places facing each other.
Yes.
20. And he blessed Yahweh of Yahweh's, who had put the word of Yahweh into his mouth, and Yahweh forever. 21. And he knew that a blessed portion and a blessing had come to Shem and his sons and to their generations forever, which was the whole land of Eden and the whole land of the Red Sea and the whole land of the East and India and on the Red Sea and the mountains of it and all the land of Bashan and all the land of Lebanon and the islands of Kephtor and all the mountains of Seir and Amna, and the mountains of Asher in the north, and all the land of Elam, Asher, and Babel, and Susan, and Media, and all the mountains of Ararat, and all the region beyond the sea, which is beyond the mountains of Asher, toward the north, and a blessed and spacious land, and all that is in it is very good.
Stop it there. So now what are we going to find out? So you see the ones that the Dunkin' Donuts people, they got, they over there in India. But they don't know that land of India belongs to the children of Shem, and that's who we are. So you see, that's why we don't know jack about ourselves. Mm-hmm. They always try to deliver you up, and they is in your land. All the land of India belongs to Shem and his offspring. So you got children of Israel over there right now. They, some of them they are gypsies and everything. And they get persecuted for being whatever they is, but they're out of order by being gypsies anyway. But the land of India belongs to Shem and his people. So you got to understand where your land is. When it's time for you to go back to your own land, your land, even if you over in India, if you over there, that's your land too. See? You got to know all these things, but now that's good enough. For time's sake, now, read the first line. Read verse 24. Read verse 24.
This is the land that came out for him as the portion which he was to occupy forever for himself and his sons to their generations forever.
That's a bad Yahweh. Ham got a portion forever. So the land that Ham got forever, and we read about that old piece of pope from Satan the Devil, of Pope Nicholas V, gave his land to the king. He told the king Alfonso, that's your land. You see how you see he did? He'll mess himself up. He'll mess up king when he wakes up the king. He's going to burn the king in the fire. He's going to burn that pope in the fire too for lying. Yeah, because that land over there called Portugal and Spain, but that's not the true name of Portugal and Spain, because one thing, what do you got to do to any land that you migrate to according to 4911, Mother Z, or son? Whatever land you migrate to, the name of the land, so when you read about the Portuguese and the Spaniards, we'll take care of that later, because we know their name is not the name over there in the land of Japhetic land, which is called the Iberia Peninsula is not Iberia Peninsula, period. It's not Portugal and Spain. We're going to take care of all that in time to come. But one thing we know was written in 49:11 of Psalms, what we know written at Mother Eve.
Psalms 49:11. I know all the... Chapter 49, verse 11. The inward thoughts is that your house shall continue from forever and their dwelling place to all generations, that they call their land after their own name.
Oh, so in later lessons to come, where do you get this Portugal and Spain talk from? See, that ain't gonna hold up. And who gonna reveal everything is the sixth anointed camp of voice. That's who's gonna reveal everything. We gonna turn over every rock and show you soundly it's time for you to get in where you fit in at. Portugal and Spain, we're gonna take care of you in another lesson. But now let's go to verse 25. Sister G, Israel. Let's go to verse 25. Now listen to what they say in verse 25. Read one line that he expound on it.
Jubilees, chapter 8, verse 25. Japheth received the third portion of beyond the river Tina, to the north of the outflow of its waters.
Boy, hold on now. Let me get in on this. Japheth portion, north. Asia. Wait a minute. Who is that? What is North Asia got to do with anything? I thought the land was divided by three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So when I hear a word called Asia or Asian people, somebody lying. Because we know that the name over in Asia have to cover what son. A little bit louder.
Shem.
So the word Asia is polluted for Shem. So now we find out, now wait a minute now, Japheth portion is north Shem. So he's north of Shem's land. So North Asia, that's north of Shem. So now Japheth portion is north Shem. So here he go right up to the border of Shem's land, Japheth. Now watch the next word. What's the next word there, Sister G. Israel?
And it extends north, easterly, to the whole region of God.
Hold on for a minute. What's the next word after it says North Asia. What's the next word?
I don't have Asia on this. Oh, I did not read Asia.
Let's get it out of class. Who in class? Next word, y'all in class.
Europe.
Oh, so you're telling me when I see the word Europe represents who to your left?
Asia.
It represents who? Keep going to your left.
Oh, Japheth.
Japheth. So when you see see the word Europe or Europeans, the first European from Europe is descendants of who?
Japheth.
There ain't no such thing as no Europe or European people. Unless you are addressing the descendants of Japheth. So when Esau jumped up in there and said they are the Europeans from Europe, that's the biggest lie ever told. That is Japhetic land, and Japheth is the father of the northern world. So when you see the word Europe, it's polluted for Japheth and his son. Y'all see that? It is right there. Right there. Japheth in it. Now, what else Japheth got? Now, Sister G, what else Japheth got? On that same one line, what else he got?
I don't know what you guys are reading, so maybe they should read it. And it extends north easterly to the whole region of Gog and to all the country east of it.
Hey, hold on. You said something. Let's come back in class and find out what else that we need to take a look at while we're here. Japheth's portion is North Asia, which polluted for Shem. All of Europe, which is polluted for Japheth. And what in class?
And the five islands.
So the five major islands, so them five major islands that belongs over there, they call in Europe some five great islands. Who do they belong to?
Japhetic
people. Y'all see what you're learning away and learn something? Now, what is these five islands? What is the name of these five islands? And maybe we can pick out one name. Sister G, back up and let's pick out one name or a couple names in these five islands that belongs to Japheth. Let's back up to the eighth chapter. On to the 8th chapter, and we will look at a box. Oh, okay, well, we'll get it on the clock. Hey, Sister G, now we're going to the 8th chapter, and we're going to pick it up at verse number. Do you see in the box where it says Japhetic River? On page 46, Japhetic rivers, mountains, range, and cities. You see that? Mm-hmm. So, G, you see that?
Say again.
You see that part? You see where it says, right after verse 30, where it says Japhetic rivers, mountains, range, and cities. You see that? Do you see that?
Jubilees, chapter 8, verse 30.
Yeah, do you see where it says, right down past 30, where it says, Japhetic, rivers, mountains, rain, and cities. Did you see that?
I don't know which to read. If you're reading from a footnote, or what, I don't have that, whatever you guys are reading from.
Under verse 18. Okay. Okay, well, what we read from, if we just talk about the five islands, we get ready to talk about the five islands and Japhetic River, mountain range, and cities. Now, you remember he said, you read where it says Japheth's portion is five great islands. So five great islands belongs to Japhetic people. And we're going to bring out the information on something that one of the big dignitary brought out, maybe not in this lesson, this time is over with. As a matter of fact, we're going to read the five islands and we get your closing statements, Mr. G. Israel. We'll get a closing statement on you. Mother E, read the five islands down at the bottom. What's the name of these five islands? Right down at the bottom where it says five islands. What is the five islands that belong to Japhetic people? We'll close out with you. Yeah, five islands.
Five islands.
I can't pronounce some of them. Okay. Fida.
Yes.
Sardinia. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. The second island, who? Sicily.
Sicily.
Do you know what Sicily is? Sicily is what's called the Italian. The Italian, Italy, that's Sicily. And so you find out that the original Italian, the original Sicily was just Hispanic people. Dark-skinned people is the original Italian people. The Hispanic people. That was their land before Esau jumped in and took their name. So you want to call themselves Italian. They call themselves Sicily, and Italy. All that is polluted for the sins of Japhetic people. And we're going to take care of that later. So everybody's been lying and hiding. They're talking about the pure racist, what they call themselves, Italian, Italy, Sicily, and the original Sicily, they'll tell you in a minute, you know, our people's really dark skinned, you know that, on the real side. But they'll mess around and link you with the peoples of African descent. No, you ain't no African descent. You got that darkness from Japhetic descent. Japhetic land. And Cyprus. And we just look at, there go your five islands that we're going to talk about in other lessons to come. So the five islands, the five major islands is that over there in Japhetic land that you call Europe, belongs to Japhetic peoples, and they are dark-skinned peoples, some with curly hair, straight hair, wide noses, call them Minoans and all kind of other names. And we'll take care of that later. Sister D. Israel, what is your closing statement on the top part of Saturday, you on the clock? What you got to say behind that? Come on.
Thank you, Seer Israel, for connecting the books. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wah.
See, we never know what information gonna be brought out. And one thing we try to tell you something, see, right? That's why we know we are the captain, gonna take care of this business. So when you see the word Europe or European people, the original Europe and European people is polluted for Japhetic and his people. So now you know the color was, and we're going to bring out some profound information of some of these big dignitaries did point that same picture out. Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, the historian, point out the same thing we talked about when he talked about the original people of the northern world. They don't look nothing like Benjamin Franklin. Nothing like the Europeans of Esau and his five sons. They were dark-skinned people with straight hair, woolly, all type of textures of hair, even had red hair, even had blue eyes. All that they had all type of features over there by messing around with Esau. We're going to bring all that out in lessons to come. That's what we're going to do. We're going to lay everything out before you. That's why it's very important to get in where you fit in at. So now when you see the word Europe and European, it's talking about the original inhabitants of the land, Japhetic people. And Japhetic people is dark-skinned. Some got woolly hair, straight hair, broad nose, brown-skinned. Some got even red hair with blue eyes. They come all type of ways, Japhetic people. But the majority of them is dark-skinned with curly or woolly hair. And we're going to bring up all that stuff right there because right there, it wasn't nobody looking like Esau at this time. And Benjamin Franklin is going to tell you all about it in time to come. And we're going to bring out, he's an historian, and he brought out a lot of information pertaining to the people that was of Germany, the peoples of all over there in the northern world. He said they looked nothing like us. Esau and the five sons. But then you know what that do for you? They had to convince you that you was African. So when you're black, you're African. See, that's the biggest lie in total. When you're black, you can be Shem. And when you're black, you can be the Japhetic people. Because they're dark-skinned people, too. See? So all the lies will be revealed by voices of a true Israelite. Six of all the camps will take care of all this business. And remember, when you see the word Europe or European people, you're talking about descendants of Japhetic land. And them five great islands that you got over there now, they only got them five major islands over there. Them five major spots over there belong to Japhetic people. If you look real carefully on the rock and you'll see some dark-skinned people, the first thing you'll do is classify them as Africans. No, they're not. They are Japhetic people. Japhetic people. That's who they are. And we're gonna take care of all this business in time to come. All right. Mother Z, what's your closing statement behind that?
I would just like to thank Yahweh for allowing me to be here on the bottom part of the, on the top part of the seventh day. And thank Yahweh for being Yahweh and for being Yahweh all by itself. Because without him, I can do nothing. And without him, I am nothing. And I'm just going to read, I love the Yahweh because he has heard my voice and my supplication. Verse 2, because he has inclined his ears unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrow of death compared me, and the pain of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Verse 4, then call out upon the name of the Yahweh. O Yahweh, I beseech thee, deliver myself. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Mother E, what's your closing statement? The top part of the Sabbath day.
Thank you for praising Yahweh for another class. Thank you for praising Yahweh that I was able to get here. We read a portion of Psalms 51, starting at verse 11. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy righteous spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors. Then will I teach transgressors sinners thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Yahweh, such Yahweh of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Yahweh, open thus my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thy desire not sacrifice, guess what I give it? Thy delight not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of Yahweh are a broken spirit, a broken and contrived mind. O Yahweh, thus will not despise. Do good in thy good pledge unto you. Yahweh, Judas, the design. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with the burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall thy offering bullock upon the altar. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Mother DF, what's your closing statement and give us a prayer and send us all to where we got to go to for the top part of the Sabbath and close out the prayer?
Psalm 124. If it had not been Yahweh who was on our side, now may Israel say, blessed be Yahweh who has not given us as they pray to their chief. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowl. The snare of it was broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of Yahweh who made heaven and earth. Thank you, Yahweh, for your great mercy. Thank you, Yahweh, for being able to be here on the beginning of your Sabbath day. Thank you, Yahweh, for our spirit. Thank you, Yahweh, for our brother, our God, and his pastor. Thank you, Yahweh, for our mothers. Thank you, Yahweh, for this great mercy. And say hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your peace. In the name of Yahweh the Son, Yahweh Abraham.